Welcome to Cap Tech Podcast. I'm President Sims, president of Capital Technology University. We're a small, private, nonprofit university, fully accredited in Laurel, Maryland. We offer degree programs in STEM areas, all the way from the bachelor's to doctorate. And today, we have Dr. Michael Johnson with us. He is currently working for Boeing Defense and Space. He's assigned to the NASA and the International Space Station. Welcome, Dr. Johnson. Could you tell us a little bit about your background?
Thank you very much, Dr. Sims. I am privileged to work with NASA and with Boeing. I'm a Boeing employee that's assigned with the NASA space program. My area of focus is the International Space Station, also the SLS launch systems, which is our new space launch systems. I spent 8 years in commercial aviation, working in the very airplanes that you would find at the airport, taking you from point A to point B. And now I have the privilege and, to be quite frank with you, the absolute joy of getting to work with something that now doesn't go from point A to point B. It's going to, in our case, point Moon and point Mars, which are going to be the next big steps for us. I have a background in computer science, a bachelor's degree in computer science. I have a dual master's in aerospace science from Embry-Riddle, and I am proud and pleased to be a PhD graduate from Capital and one of your former students. So thank you, and it's an absolute joy to get a chance to talk with you and everyone.
Well, thank you for coming today to the podcast. And of course, you know, you have a wonderful industry background, and currently, as we know, you're working for the Boeing Space and Defense segment. Could you take a moment and tell the listeners, what do you see from the industry perspective that degree programs at any university should be incorporating into the, whether it's a bachelor's, master, or doctorate level degree programs that really help the industry? What can we give to our students in higher education that when they graduate, they're walking right into a career path that the industry is really hungry to hire them and they can immediately be productive with that organization?
Well, it's going to be a joint thing. It's going to be something that's going to have to come from industry and education. And that is the availability of intern style programs, the ability to see what it is at the end of the day that you're making. You can have a student that he or she is absolutely fantastic in their swim lane of computer science, engineering, what have you. But if they don't have an understanding of what it is at the end of the day that they're producing, what is that widget that's coming out at the end of the day, then they are a fantastic student in their discipline and area. So the availability and the absolute need of an intern program in the industry that interests the student. And there's, you know, you shouldn't have to make a decision as you're going through school immediately. I know I'm going to go work with KUKA Robotics and I'm going to build robotic manipulators or something. But you, generally, a student's going to come in and say, you know, these things interest me. So university education and industry have got to get to a point where they start partnering and talking to one another and letting folks know that you can be absolutely fantastic in your discipline, but you do need to have an understanding at the end of the day what it is that you're producing and making. And that has been something that I've noticed in my career that has been somewhat lacking. We need to do something to address these things.
Could you discuss maybe some of the positions that a graduate might take, whether it may be a true 4-year bachelor's degree student or an advanced master's or doctorate student, what type of industry positions would they take with those degrees?
A student coming in would have the opportunity from a Boeing aspect to work in business application. Let's say they have a degree in information technology. That information technology degree would be focused in the areas of business and business operations that would meet those needs. Let's say you have a computer science major that comes in. These are going to be more of the computer core needs. For instance, like the data centers that Boeing has set up across the United States to correlate data for all of our programs, the communication therein to those systems. So each discipline, each degree would be offered an opportunity to look at a number of different business applications, scientific applications, pretty much you name it. But what I see is, and what I have seen, I should say, is that the availability and the ability for the student to be exposed to a number of areas is something that I know Boeing has strived for very hard. Because at the end of the day, one of the things that can be told to the undergraduate students, if you come through a Boeing internship, you have about a 95 to 96% chance we're going to scoop you up. Because you've spent a year with us, we're showing you what's going on, we're showing you what's happening, and that is absolutely invaluable to the graduate. It sets you apart from any of the other students out there. You've got the degree, now get some of the exposure to this, and that exposure is available through internship or through these types of programs.
Is there any type of certifications that students should be looking for that are great on their resume when they're applying for careers like this?
Sure. Let's say you're going through one of the global security programs. You're going to go through a computer security. There is a program called Security Plus, which is a very excellent program. There are industry programs such as RFID, radio frequency identification systems, which are heavily used in manufacturing, heavily used in military application, everything from tracking the conveyance of a toolkit going to an aircraft to a supply of missiles that we're going to store in some area anywhere that might happen to be. The use of industry training such as Security Plus, RFID training, Cisco classes, all of these things that can be attained and achieved are also available online. But something to what's near and dear to me, to my heart, which the things that I do in the computer science realm are things like cloud computing and cloud communication systems. These are becoming very prevalent in industry right now. So any opportunities a student may have to look into those things, they should grab onto it with both hands.
Working for companies like Boeing, how do they support students who start there and maybe they want to go on for advanced degrees? Do they see that's an important addition to their resume, or do they not want you to go on?
After 2 years with Boeing, spending 2 years, the Boeing has what's called the Learning Together program. And the Learning Together program will take you through master's programs. They will take you through programs, certification style. I went through an entire training cadre at MIT. For system engineering that Boeing paid for. And last but not least, Boeing paid for my PhD. So, and this is everything. This is any of the needs that I have, all the way down to a cap and gown at the end of graduation. Boeing views education as an absolute. We live in a society where we have become absolutely dependent upon the technology around us, and that technology requires people to go ahead and maintain and keep as current as humanly possible. Manufacturing and industry is the cornerstone of the United States, and it's going to be for the foreseeable future. So trained individuals that have these skills will always be somebody that can be employed. Something I was taught from a young age. One of my uncles was a former engineer with a company called Martin Marietta during the space program. And something I always remembered that he had said was, is you can be one of two people. You can be someone who uses things, or you can be someone who makes things. And the person that makes something is always going to be in demand. So it's been something I've always viewed, and it's a little bit of a mantra, if you will, for myself.
Does Boeing have preference in the degree program areas that they hire graduates, or do they look across all the degree programs for the best fit?
Best fit. Let me give you an idea. We employ seamstresses on the factory floor for the aircraft interiors. We have chairs made by the same company that built seats for Ferrari. So if one of these chairs has a tear in it, we have a professional seamstress correct it. They don't simply go and buy another one. That type of waste in the supply line causes massive cost overruns. So literally from the person integrating a robotic manipulator, such as a heavy lift robotic arm to move a fuselage down to the person who is going to install the seats, which, you know, our clients choose, you know, that are specific to their needs. We have to cover everything. So it's not a one degree fits all. It's you'd be amazed at how many individual areas that are required.
You touched on an area that I think is important. I've heard from many employers that, especially at the bachelor level graduates, is that if they can have a student that generally understands cost, that's a big plus, to have their have an idea so that they can understand inefficiencies and productivity and stuff, even though they may not be the person manufacturing it. Just that grasp of cost associated with everything is very important.
Well, to carry on from that is one of those classes you were asking me that's a good one is the Six Sigma for lean operations. And you're absolutely right. In manufacturing, the idea is you have to lean your processes in order to keep profits at a level to maintain. In aviation, one of the things that the listener may find interesting is that an enormous percentage, almost two-thirds of all generated profit goes into that next thing, that next aircraft, and whatever that may be. So what we sell in this case is funding what we're going to build next. And the more we have to build with, the more refined the aircraft is, and the more refined, at the end of the day, whatever that widget may be, we'll have the opportunity to present to the public.
Earlier on, when you were talking about what industry would really like to see in the content of educational degree programs, if I was a prospective student at whether bachelor's, master's, or doctoral level, could I go to, say, the Boeing website in the career section and see what to look for when I'm looking in for a program that, that Boeing would really want me to have upon graduation?
Absolutely. Boeing lists, if you were to go in and take a look at what's available right now, what jobs we're filling, and keep in mind, we are in 60 plus countries around the world. So it's not just here in the United States. And our area that we're looking for, or the folks that we're looking for, is very, very broad. You would be able to notice, there are openings in computer architecture. There are openings in software engineering. There are openings in, even down to the sciences of industrial hygiene and things of that nature. So the user or the individual could go in, take a peek, and they would get an idea. And then you could match or marry that back to your school catalog to see what you might have and tailor with the help of your advisors or with the help of your faculty. How can I tailor something to be to fit into this this area that I wish to go to? But keep in mind, keep things broad because opportunities avail themselves. The president of our company and CEO of our company started on the floor turning wrenches. So from actually fitting a panel on a 757 to running one of the largest companies in the world. So there
are many of the companies that we work with here at Capital Tech that employ our students. We work in a lot of industries where the presidents actually were hired in, maybe with a bachelor's degree, working programming on whatever they needed to program, to turning wrenches, to starting out in the trades and work their way up. So the degrees have helped them advance in their career along the way. So it's a great way to understand the industry from the floor up whenever you do that type of thing.
No, I was just saying, I think so. One of the things is, you've heard this before, and I know students have heard it, and probably most of the listeners have. We have an aging workforce. We really do. Before the interview had started, you and I were joking back and forth about things. How old would you assume that the Apollo engineer was in 1968, 69 in the space program? How old do you think that person was?
Oh, I'd say he's probably 25.
28 years old. And now they're all old and cantankerous like me. You know, they're in their 50s. But today, the engineers are between 40 and 59. Mm. So it's... The space program and everything is talk about an open area for we're creating jobs as we're creating as the technology is created. So you know, when I said keep your options broad, I really, really mean that. When you go into something, go in with the expectation that the job that you're getting today will change by tomorrow. So you've got to be fluid with these with the environment and how things are changing.
With Boeing being an international company, and you know, several of our employers here that hire our students are international companies. If I'm a student, a U.S. student, is it easy to ask for an overseas assignment, or is it difficult to get an overseas assignment once I take my job with Boeing?
No, not at all. If we have openings, I've worked on projects. When I was in BCA, I spent time in Sheffield, England, where we were working on advanced material research. I've worked in Bordeaux, France, where we've done computer robotics. In Australia, I literally was working in a building that I'm pretty certain was around since the dinosaurs were walking around. I'm almost certain it had to have been that old. So these opportunities are open. Some of them are temporary. Some of them are long-term. I have a very good friend of mine who came from the Charleston, South Carolina area and is now a senior manager with Boeing Defense UK. So he lives out in the United Kingdom now. So yes, you can, there are numerous opportunities. Now, in the past year, it's been very difficult because with COVID and with the effects that COVID has had on travel industry, on manufacturing and what have you, especially supply chains, we've had to get very creative with how we've had to work with things and what have you. So a lot of us are working, from the confines of your study at home or the spare bedroom or wherever it is that that you have some extra space. So there are, there's been drawbacks this year, but with the changes and with things improving again, now we have to start filling those slots again. So it's a wonderful time over the next 3 or 4 years. If you're looking for something and you want to go work in Madrid, Spain, we have offices there, just like we have offices in Milan, Italy, Singapore, India, you name it, all over.
Can you give us a hint of any of the future technology issues that are coming up with Boeing Defense and Space?
A couple of hints. We are talking about putting permanent emplacement on the moon. So since I work with the ISS systems, with International Space Station, this is actually a space mission, if you will, that hasn't ended. It's been up for 20 years. So this is the faculty and staff and the groups that work with this, from the back room to the controllers at Mission Control in Houston. They have, some of these folks have 20 years of experience working in confined environment. So now they're talking about taking that technology and understanding and figuring out how we can emplace that on the moon, because the moon is the springboard for any type of Mars operation. SLS, for the listeners that are old enough to remember, the Apollo spacecraft, the F1 engines generated roughly 7.3 to 7.5 million pounds of thrust at liftoff. The new SLS system is generating roughly 8.8. To put this into a perspective of energy, we can run all of Manhattan Island for about 30 seconds on the thrust generated if we were to convert that. The space program has always been something that's just fascinated me. But then I grew up in that era. I'm a child of the late 60s, early 70s. And I would go to Florida and see these rockets taking off. I had family that worked in the programs. Had a grandfather whose concrete company poured concrete for a number of different sites. So this is something that's always fascinated me. I'm hoping that the next generation of students coming out will get the space bug, if you will, and just become just as, as gaga, if you will, over this, as I have always been. Tell me a place where you get to play with the neatest toys and see some of the coolest stuff, but have to solve problems like, how do you communicate with a rover, that the speed of the rover takes 8 minutes for the signal to get out and 8 minutes to get back? So you got a 16-minute turnaround time. how do you handle navigating issues where you're trying to remote command and remote control the rover to move? How do we handle if we find we've found, like, for instance, ice on the moon? Where there is water, there's the ability to create oxygen. There's the ability to create electricity. And then again, there's also the ability to create fuel. So how do we exploit that? What is it that we have to do those things? There was a great line from Jim Webb, who was the first administrator for NASA, back right after Al Shepard had flown his 15-minute flight. And everybody was thrilled. And then President Kennedy goes into Congress and says, we're going to go to the moon by the end of the decade. So Jim Webb is sitting there with his engineers and he's saying, we have to solve problems that no one's dreamed of. We have to come up with solutions with a technology no one's thought of. We have no idea how to do it. We have to come up with something so simple as how do you get two things to rendezvous in space? How do you get two space? He used the analogy, I'll go to the front of my house, I'll throw a tennis ball over it, and you hit it with a rock from the back of the house. So what are the technologies and challenges? These are the ones that are coming up. We want people, and industry wants people. It's not just us. It's there's Lockheed, there's SpaceX, there's all of these companies. Companies want people that love to dream and dream as big as you possibly can, because your degree offers you a key to open a door. That door, once you walk through it, is only what you make out of it. And it's those opportunities are going to come at you, and they're going to come at you fast. And as things change and as industry goes forward, ride with it, go with it, and never stop learning, because you just can't. Not in this area, not in this field.
Well, that's exciting. I mean, to be part of that industry, technology, future thought, just to be part of that, and the folks back in the 60s who made it happen for the space program, it's a great era, great people that were involved in that. For you, you went on to pass your bachelor's to get a master's and a doctorate. What was your personal reason that you decided that you wanted advanced degrees?
One of the things I've thought about doing, and one of the things I would like to do, is there is an eventuality where I'd like to go back into academia as an instructor. And in this case, I would be somebody who had been on the factory floor, in the factory meeting room. We jokingly call those the arena sometimes, because it can be quite gladiatorial when you're trying to hash out issues. It's nothing like five, the old joke, when you have five engineers, you'll have six opinions. But I wanted to be able to be posed or put into a situation where I could teach eventually. And I figured as, especially in this area, in this style of education, the style of industry, I think it's important that the people teaching the next generation have spent time actually doing some of these things. There is the textbook solution, and then there is the real world solution. And sometimes they don't match real well. And I figured, you know what, I think I might just be the person that could sit down and, explain this and going forward. And on top of that, my PhD to me, my master's degree, both master's degrees and my PhD to me, mean that I have taken my education as far as I can take it in a formal setting, and I want to refine it and offer that in my field. And it sets, at least in my thoughts and in my view, it sets somebody above who takes the extra time to do that, because I did these things while I was working and raising a family.
Yes, it's a lot of work whenever you're working on your degrees part-time and working full-time for your job. I certainly understand the commitment behind that. So got to be dedicated when you take on education at that level. But it certainly is a rewarding experience for those who continue on and complete advanced degrees. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, it is always worth it. Dr. Ian McAndrew is both a mentor, an instructor, and a dear friend of mine. And he said something one time I always got a kick out of. He said, if I had a dime for every time somebody said, oh, I thought about getting a PhD. He indicated that he would no longer be working. He would be retired somewhere in, you know, in the south of France or something of that nature. But you're going to run into that. And you're going to run into the folks that said, yeah, I thought about that. Nobody needs a PhD. I don't want to. Actually, if you are trying to distinguish yourself from a field that, while not saturated, is populated by some very, very bright people. They don't, President Sims, you've heard the joke before. What do you call a second year engineering student? Nine times out of 10, a business major. So the people that come through this, it's tough. So you want to do things that will distinguish you and set you apart, because at the end of the day, you study, you work hard, not for altruistic reasons. You study and work hard so that you can get the next job, that next promotion, that next level up. And education will always be the one thing that will distinguish you from the rest of the crowd. You can have 20 years in field, but you know, the person that comes in with a master's of understanding and a doctoral of understanding, that is a badge of honor. That is a that shows the to your employer, this is someone who is more than dedicated. They are absolutely driven. And nine times out of 10, it may not get you the job, but it's certainly going to get you looked at before some of the other folks.
If somebody's interested in looking for a career or an internship at Boeing, what's the easiest way for them to find that location?
Simplest thing is to go to Boeing.com. At Boeing.com, look at the careers tab at the top. In the careers tab, you can look up the, there is an application for internships. There is an application for regular employment. And also, the one of the best things you can do is go to your school's career services center and make certain that they're talking to Boeing. And we're all over the place. So it does not take much for career services to reach out. And then maybe during your next job fair, Boeing would be there to sit there and talk with you directly.
Well, I want to thank Dr. Michael Johnson for joining us on this CapTech podcast today. You can reach him on LinkedIn if you want to connect with him. And certainly you can go to the Boeing website if you'd like to learn more about them. And thanks for listening to this podcast. And remember that Capital Tech, we're here to provide great careers for either new students who are just starting out their career or advancing in your career or changing your career. We're a career-focused university, and we offer degrees from the bachelor's to the doctorate. So please check us out at captechu.edu. And thank you for listening today.